Hey there, everybody! Welcome again to another episode of the Fat Guy Forum. I am your host, Gourmet. Glad to have you here with us. You may know me as @Gourmet_goes_keto on Instagram. Hopefully you're following me there, and you've been enjoying what you're hearing from me so far on this podcast. Maybe you're jumping around, you never know. So this episode is something I get asked about a lot, so I'm excited to talk to you all about it. And I hope it'll give you some of my experience and some of my thoughts and ideas for you. The title of this episode, which I have an outline for this one because I want to make sure I cover everything, is, so you want to lose 300 pounds. I am someone who has lost, from my heaviest weight, 300 pounds twice in my life now. Once in 2013, I got down to 210 pounds, which from my height of 5'40", was a 330-pound loss. And now I am 230 pounds, so I'm 310 down from my heaviest. It's different than losing 10 pounds or 20 pounds. What I want to say at the outset isn't that having to lose a ton of weight versus not as much or whatever doesn't make the experience any more challenging for a person, doesn't make it any harder for them as an individual. But there are different issues to talk about. So I want to explore that a little bit today. I want us to be able to get into it a little bit together. And I want to share with you some of the things I've learned over my quote-unquote dieting career. As I mentioned in the intro episode to this podcast, I've tried many, many, many diets over my lifetime. I've lost weight, I've gained weight, I've lost weight, I've gained weight. It started with my very first time on Weight Watchers when I was 10. And from there, I did Weight Watchers. I did the Carb Addicts diet. I did Deal a Meal. I did a modified version of Atkins. I did Paleo. I did Paleo Low Carb. I did Low Carb in general. I did Dirty Keto. I did Lazy Keto. And now I'm working with a coach on a stricter keto protocol. So I've tried a lot of different diets, and there's probably more out there that I'm forgetting. And maybe someday we'll dive into that. Today, though, I want to talk about what it means to have to lose 300 pounds or more, or 200 pounds. The perspective when you're starting is different. There's a mountain, literally, built around you that you have to change, and you have to see as possible to change. And for most people that are in the 400, 500, 600 or more pound range, we don't see it as possible. When I lost all the weight in 2013 and regained it very rapidly, I thought I had just been fated to be a very fat man my entire life. That was what I would be. I had no choice, and it was out of my control. And I think that was the wrong perspective for me to have, but I think it's one that a lot of much larger people have. One, you think about the fact that you have to get all of that weight off your body to reach a weight that is considered quote-unquote normal or allows your body to function in a healthy manner. It doesn't mean that you're ever going to be thin, you're ever going to be someone of a quote-unquote average size, but you can get down to a smaller size to allow metabolic issues to heal. You can get off medications. You can make your heart stronger. All of those things, your body stronger. But when you're in that place of being that heavy, possibly like I was, severely addicted to food and addicted to that life, set up in that life, enabled to continue that life, it's hard to see it as possible to make the change. I like to describe it as you're an immovable object. It's a little on the nose, I know, as far as metaphors go. It's not colorful. But they talk about immovable forces. Immovable objects and irresistible forces coming together at different points in the universe. And to me, when you are the proverbial immovable object, when you feel stuck at your weight, and this can apply to anyone, but I think specifically when you have a massive amount of weight to lose, it's about finding the irresistible force that is going to help you get that object moving. So what do I mean? I think we've seen a lot of people talk about whys, Like, what is your why? Finding your why? Living your why? It's fun to stay at the why? I don't know. Whatever. Whatever people say. But it's important to find something that gets you motivated to start. Does that mean that's going to be the force that sustains you all the way through your journey? Possibly not. Possibly not. It could be that it's just your why now, not your why forever. But thinking about that is important. So how do you do it? How do you figure out your why? Sometimes it's very basic. I think sometimes it is something that you know already and you need to face. It can be something big. For some people, it's a triggering event, like a medical episode, a heart attack, a diagnosis of diabetes. A diabetes diagnosis that eventually you get told you're going to lose a foot. That's real. Look that up if it's not something you've heard about before. Diabetic amputation. It doesn't happen to everyone, but it's possible. Circulation issues, all of that. Being told by a doctor that you're facing your mortality can be a big why for someone. Others come to it more metaphysically. You realize that your purpose in life is more than eating. That was a big one for me. I thought my purpose in life was just shoveling in food and waiting to die. And when I lost weight the first time, the first massive weight loss, every diet I tried, it was because I thought other people wanted me to lose weight. Whether that was family pressure, being put on diets as a child, knowing that I was going to see family and be judged, any of those things motivated me. And obviously, it never worked. Those motivations never worked. In the 2012 range, when I started to come down from 540 pounds, my motivation had more to do with the fact that I didn't have a job. I had no job. I lost my way to support myself. And I knew, realistically, that most employers don't want to look at someone who's 540 pounds, sweating just from standing, and hire them. Especially in a position where other people are going to interact with them. It's a sad, true reality. So for me, that was that motivation that time. And throughout that journey, I lost weight, I found work, I got into a position, and I didn't keep the weight off. There were parts of my brain that just didn't change, I didn't work on, I didn't think about. I got back up to 480 pounds, is the highest that I know of. I may have been higher than that, I just never really checked at that point. And when I started my weight loss journey again in February of 2017, though, I had truly my own personal weight loss epiphany, my own life epiphany. It had to do with some situations in my family, involving children and custody and my parents getting involved with raising some children years after they had raised us. And in one of the conversations about that situation happening, my dad mentioned to me, you know, we're at some point, you know, your stepmom and I aren't going to be around for these girls, and we might need you to be. And it wasn't something where he was talking to me about my weight or health or any of those things. Really, it wasn't. But to me, I went home that night and I thought about it and realized the way I'm living right now, one, I couldn't help with the physical care of these children at all because I can barely take care of myself. And two, I needed to be around. At that point in my life, I had just assumed I would die in a few years, that I wouldn't be around anymore. I had written a letter to my family to keep by my bed just in case I didn't wake up, because I thought that was a reality that could happen. And in this moment, it wasn't about me realizing that other people needed me to lose weight, but that other people needed me. And there's a difference there. There's a difference. I realized that my life was more, my life meant more, and my life had a greater purpose. And whether any of that ever comes into play or happens or anything, it has nothing to do with the journey I'm on, really, at the end of the day. In that moment, I saw the bigger picture. And what it did for me was it flipped a switch inside of my head. It gave me my why of wanting to live. I want to live. I've posted that on Instagram a lot. I used to story about it a lot, especially when I was getting back into this journey in 2017. I want to live. Hashtag I want to live. I want to fight to live. And that's what I do. And that's what I did. When I first started losing weight again, there were challenges, the mental challenges, the physical challenges, all of it. But I knew I had to fight. I had that why in my head. It was there. I want to live. Think about that. Do you want to live? Is it that basic for you? And I'm speaking now to the people who are listening who are 200, 300, 400 pounds overweight. Because you know at that point, your weight is threatening your life. Do you have children? Do you have other family around? Do you have friends? Do you work a job that relies on you? What are you doing to make sure that you're going to be there? That's just something to think about. Now, that might not be your why. For yourself, you have to think about, is it something different? Is it something not as deep? Is it that deep? Is it deeper? I'm not saying I'm the end-all be-all by any means. By any means. Excuse me. But I will say that identifying your why is very important and keeping it in focus. Don't let it go away. Don't let it fade. That's what I've done before. I've had my why in focus. I've done it for as long as I felt I kept it in focus as long as I felt I needed to while I was losing weight, and then I let it slip. And then I forgot. Then I felt good and felt like my body could move and that everything was fine. So why worry anymore? And I felt right back into my old patterns. The old me, the old Gourmet, is sitting inside waiting for an opportunity to come back out. Waiting for an opportunity to take the wheel. And by keeping my why in focus, I keep him in check. I remember that every choice that he makes takes me one further step away from life. I say that slowly and methodically because it is true. It's not hyperbole. It's not exaggeration. It's not me being dramatic for you all to hear. It's true. I was killing myself with food. I was taking my life away with food and the choices I made with food. And I didn't want to do that anymore. So I made a change. And I started, even though I didn't know exactly where I was going and what I was doing yet, I started. I got moving. And now I want to talk to you a little bit about how you lose 300 pounds. Now, you know me. You know that I'm the keto guy hosting this podcast. I'm Gourmet Goes Keto on Instagram. I have keto in the name there. It doesn't define everything I do or everything in my experience, but it's a focus for me right now, obviously, because it helps me maintain my journey and keep it going. But I'm not here today to tell you that keto is for you, that you need to do keto, not to proselytize about keto or anything like that. I want to talk more basic. I want to talk more big picture. I want to talk about how you sitting there right now at 500 pounds, 540 pounds. So Gourmet, if you're out there, listen. Just listen. Listen to what I have to say. Maybe you'll disagree with me. And the first thing I want to say is don't listen to me. Okay, that's an oxymoron. I just told you to listen and now I'm telling you not to listen to me. What I mean is, don't think that every word I say about weight loss is a gospel for you. Don't think that everything I eat is what you should eat. I think the most important thing that we need to do as people who want to get ourselves out of that impossible place is figure out what is going to work for us. And to do that, before you can make a decision, you need to think about how you eat, what you like to eat, how you move, how you don't like to move. You need to think about all of those different pieces and do some research. Happens all the time. I get DMs on Instagram where people say, tell me how to keto. Tell me how to lose weight. I'm 500 pounds. I've never been on a diet before. I don't know what to do. Tell me how to do it. And I want to tell someone exactly what to do. I do, believe me. It's hard not to say, this is exactly what you should eat. But I know that that's not going to help that person. I know in the end, that is not what is truly needed. What is needed is guiding that person to resources where they can realize that not only can Gourmet do this, they can do it themselves. I think it's about building a knowledge base for yourself so you feel like you know how to handle challenges that come along. So research is a big part of the weight loss journey, especially an extreme weight loss journey. It's not about knowing what boxes to check on a meal plan. And I know there's someone listening right now who's getting mad at me saying this, who's saying, yes, I just want a meal plan that'll get me to lose 300 pounds. I just want you to tell me, Gourmet, tell me what to do. I can't. I can tell you about some great people that offer different plans. I can tell you about different philosophies. I can talk to you about food quality, nutrient density. I can talk to you about the impact of carbs on your body, especially if you have blood sugar issues, whether you're pre-diabetic or diabetic. I can talk to you about fasting. I'm fasting right now. But I can't tell you specifically what to do. And I think that's scary. I think that's terrifying to some people. Because if a doctor, I'm not a doctor, but if a doctor can't tell you specifically what to do and be successful, and someone who's lost 300 pounds can't tell you specifically what to do, how can you figure it out? So we start with research. The questions to ask when you're looking into different diet plans and ways of eating is, can I sustain this? A weight loss journey doesn't have an end. That was one of my big mistakes. I thought that once you hit your goal weight, things were done. It happened when I was a kid. My very first time on Weight Watchers when I was 10, I hit goal weight and my family celebrated. And then they stopped paying attention to what I was eating because they thought I was cured. They thought I was done. And I ballooned. And within a few years, my weight had almost tripled from where it was at the low point on that diet. I was 110 pounds in seventh grade. And by 10th grade, I was closer to 350. So clearly, I missed a step. I missed something. So don't miss that for yourself. Think about what you can live with. I was listening to a podcast today, and they were talking about eat now how you want to eat for the rest of your life. And while I think, I don't agree 100% because I think we make changes to get our bodies working again and to regulate hormones and do a lot of things to try to help us reach our weight loss goals. You need to think about how you're going to eat for the rest of your life, how you want to eat for the rest of your life so that you can live the rest of your life. For me, that is keto. For me, I find keto sustainable. I like the food. I find creativity in it. I love how I feel. I love how my body responds. So I know, and that may mean that I incorporate carbs somewhere down the line. I may, you know, use them in different places, up the level from where I'm at now. But I need to do that in a way that is well thought out and I pay attention. I need to think about what is sustainable because I have no intentions of regaining. And I it's probably easy for me to sit here and say that. And it's probably easy for you to listen and say, yeah, in 6 months, this dude is going to be big again. Or in a year, or 2 years, or 3 years. Statistically, it's true. But I don't believe that. I don't believe it for myself anymore. And I think that's an important part of this. I feel like I figured out the secret for myself. And that secret is to stay conscious and to stay aware of what I need to do for the rest of my life to be sustainable. So there's that cliche. It's a lifestyle, not a diet. I think you need to build a lifestyle. You need to look at what are you doing that is enabling your behavior. Who's bringing you the food? If you can't go get it yourself, who is bringing you the food? Think about that. That's a hard question. They ask it all the time on My 600-Pound Life. Who's bringing the food? If you're not moving your body, what can you do to start moving your body? What can you do to make that movement a part of your life? So think about that. How does it become something that becomes second nature and not something you have to approach with such methodical precision every day that you can't live the rest of your life. I don't know if that makes sense. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe that thought isn't really well formed. But I want you to think about, because to me, a diet implies an end period. I know there's people out there who are going to say, semantics, gourmet, semantics. Diet is just the way you eat. And every person on the planet is actually on a diet. They just eat different diets. You know, animals all have diet. We talk about the diet of animals. Animals aren't trying to lose weight. So, you know, if you can for yourself take away that connotation, find your best diet. But if you can't take away the permanently being about weight loss with an endpoint definition of the word diet, think about finding a lifestyle that'll help you reach your goals. What are your goals? What is your why? Keeping that why in focus. What's going to help you get there? What tools do you need? So it's about finding your plan. Are you someone who gravitates more to low-carb eating? Do you feel better? Do you have blood sugar issues that would be helpfully addressed by eating low-carb or keto? So maybe that's something to consider. Are you someone who eats a lot of crap processed food, and maybe going to more of a whole food paleo lifestyle might make some dramatic changes for you that you can sustain? Or are you someone that needs something that's even more structured, so that because you don't know what to do? So do you need a plan where someone, you work with a coach? I work with a coach right now because I feel like that's what I need. I've been keto for 2.5 years. A year and a half of that time, I did not work with a coach. I did more of a dirty, lazy keto approach. And then I realized it wasn't working for me anymore and I needed help. What tools do you need to have to help you figure out what plan works best for you? Is something like Weight Watchers with structured meetings something that would be helpful? Are you someone who might benefit from Overeaters Anonymous? Overeaters Anonymous isn't necessarily a weight loss group. They work more, you know, towards dealing with those overeating behaviors, you know, from a 12-step point of view. What are the tools that you need to help you take your why and make it reality? So now with someone who has 300 pounds to lose, it's easy to just pick a diet. It's easy just to say, I'm going to try this one. And really, at the end of the day, any diet is going to work if you follow it. That's a cliche too. It's true. It really is true. I could lose weight on Weight Watchers again if I wanted to. Would I be hungry all the time? Probably. I know how I react to eating the way that program is planned. Or it was then. I know I'm going to have all kinds of new people who are, you know, doing the new plan. Say, you could do this X, you can do X, Y, and Z. I understand. I'm just speaking from my frame of reference. But having a plan that you're going to start with is really important. And that's the key, I think. That's the key when you have that much weight to lose, is don't get so bogged down in research that you get paralysis by analysis and don't do anything. You need to start. You need to start. Does that mean going cold turkey? If you're the person that responds to that, do it. I am. I clean my house out the night before I start a diet, and I'm on it the next day. I don't do a slow transition, because to me, a slow transition allows for backsliding. And I honestly think someone who deals with severe eating issues also should think about that. Keeping around those foods in small quantities that you know trigger you and cause problems, is that smart? Think about it. Answer these questions for yourself as you're trying to pick what plan you want to start with. But pick a day and start. Don't wait till Monday. I mean, if it is Sunday and you're going to start tomorrow, that's fine. But if it's Tuesday and you're just listening to this, don't wait till Monday. Start. Get going. Take the plan that you're going to do and start it. My advice? Give that plan 30 days, whatever it is, 30 days, no less. You might not even see the results you want that first week. Give it 30 days. Because in 30 days, you're going to have a whole month worth of how am I feeling? Where's my weight at? Where are my other numbers at if you're someone, you know, testing blood sugar, things along those lines? How is this working? What might I need to change? And then if you want to make a drastic change then or a slight tweak, make some changes, course correct, assess how they're working, and go another 30 days. Think about that. Think about taking that amount of time. Sometimes we want to give a diet 10 days, and if it doesn't work in 10 days, we're done. I don't think we adapt in 10 days. You're definitely not, if you're going the keto route, you're definitely not fat adapted in 10 days. You're not. Your body is not switched over to complete fat burning at that point. You're not feeling all the benefits and the changes that you'd feel. 30 days minimum. Assess. Know that this is going to be a long haul, a long road. When I restarted keto in February of 2017, I was 470 pounds. So I'm down 240 pounds right now in 2.5 years. That's great. But 2.5 years is still 2.5 years. And then you look at someone who has 10 pounds to lose, and you know that in 60 days they might be done with that phase of their journey. Know that it didn't take 30 days to gain the weight. It's not going to take 30 to lose it. And it sucks. It sucks. We can gain, especially as super morbidly obese people, we can gain weight in a blink of an eye. Blink of an eye. I did it. In 2013, when I got down to 210 pounds, I went off the rails hard, hard for 6 months, and I gained 270 pounds in less than 6 months. It was the beginning of May 2013 to the beginning of October 2013. I've got pictures to prove it if you don't believe me. You know, you can interview my family. They saw it happen. The weight can come back fast. I threw away that 330 pounds of weight loss in 6 months. So it can happen fast. But the weight loss takes longer. It does. That's reality. That's our reality. That's the reality we face as very heavy people who have a lot to lose. But here's the great thing about it all. It's not like you have to get from point A to point Z on your journey before you feel better, before you can move better, before things become easier. It happens along the way. It's a journey that happens in stages. And being aware of that and thinking about your goals along the way, I think, is the other component. So we've talked so far about finding your why, doing your research, picking your plan, and starting. Those are important. I want to talk to you a little bit about goals, a little about setting goals, how you can set goals when you have that much weight to lose without getting overwhelmed. I hope this will be helpful, because if your goal, the only goal you have, is lose 300 pounds, that's your goal. That's great. How long is it going to take for you to get to that goal? It's easy when you start, the adrenaline's there. You can keep that goal in focus. You could probably keep that goal in focus for 6 months. Easy. You could do it. Trust me. I've done it. You could do that. But then at 6 months, your old patterns are there. Your old desires, your hungers, physical and mental, are there. And you're thinking, okay, now I have 250 pounds to lose, but I want to get to 300 pounds lost. Feels like I'm never going to get there. And then you open that door to doubt. You open that door to allow the hope to slip away, and you open the door to regaining the weight and falling back into your old patterns. You're probably sitting there saying, no, I wouldn't do that. Or you're sitting there, more than likely, saying, I've done that before. So keep your big picture goals in mind. Lose 300 pounds. Fit into a booth at a restaurant. Walk the mall without pain. Shop at any clothing store. Oh goodness, that's amazing. Let me tell you, that is truly amazing. Those are great big picture goals. But maybe first, you set smaller goals. Get to that first 10 pounds. Lose 50 pounds. Build up to 20 minutes on the treadmill. Heck, get your weight low enough so you can use the treadmill at the gym. That was one of my first big, smaller goals. When I started, I mean, aside from the fact that I could barely walk at all, I wanted to be able to use the treadmill at the gym, and I stepped on one, and it stopped moving. And I stepped on another one, and it stopped moving. They didn't have the capacity to carry me. I got onto some of the weight machines, and I could not fit my body into the space needed. So I knew in my head, I want to get to the point that I can use these machines. I want to be able to use them so that they can be tools added to my belt to help me. I wanted to fit better in a car. I wanted my clothes to fit better. I didn't want to be out of breath walking in from my car in the morning at work. I want to be able to not think about food 24 hours a day. Think about what your goals are. Build big ones and build small ones. Build weekly goals. Build daily goals. Daily goal. Stick to the plan. Set up your plan. Stick to it every day. And congratulate yourself at the end of that day, no matter what, if you did it. And then commit the next day to doing it again. We're going to talk about consistency in a little bit. But think about how your goals don't all have to be shining superstar moments that you feel are there long off in the future. They can be smaller pieces. If your goal is to eventually fit into one plane seat, that was one of mine. But at first, it was to be able to get to the plane without feeling like I was going to die, without feeling like I needed oxygen, without being in pain. Pull the goals back a little bit. Think big picture. Write down big picture. Write big picture and then write little picture. And think about how you can break those goals down so that you build manageable progress that you can see. And even if not everyone else can see it, because that's going to be true at first too. When you're very heavy and you're losing weight, sometimes the physical changes aren't immediately noticeable to people, nor to yourself, specifically to yourself. So you want to think about things that will help you realize that you're still making progress. And that can be weight loss. That can be physical activity. That can be about fitting clothes, having a shirt that you outgrew that you want to get back into. All of those things. I'm known for buying goal shirts. I love having goal shirts. I have them in all sizes, and I've had to get rid of some of my bigger ones. The funny thing is, I've even bought some goal shirts that I skipped the size on them. I started this time around in a 7X, a tight 6X, and now I'm an extra large. I had goal shirts all along the way. I had 4Xs, 3Xs, 2Xs. Some of those things help. They help me. I actually keep some of them hanging up on hangers in my bedroom so I can look at them and remember that that's a goal. But they weren't always an extra large hanging up. It was a 4X. It was a 3X. It was a 2X. I took it in steps. I realized that the journey is as important as the end point. So when you're setting goals, think about that. Think about where you want to get to eventually. And think about the road you need to take to get there and what's going to help you stay motivated on that role, on that road. So goals, set goals. And be consistent with your goals. Be consistent with your plan. Be consistent with your activity. Be consistent with your food. If that's the one word you take away from me talking today about how you lose 300 pounds, it's consistency. It is not one specific diet. It's not one specific calorie level for every person. It's not one specific set of macros. It is consistency. And I hope that makes some sense, but if it doesn't, just think about it. You need to be consistent. This is where I get controversial to some people. I'm not a fan of cheat meals or cheat days. I'm not at all. Especially for people that have food addiction or huge amounts of weight to lose. I think those are the opportunities for us to let our old behaviors come back out. We just can't control them as well as other people. I can't. And I don't think you can either. I think that's something people have to admit to themselves, that sometimes those cheats get out of control. And some people can come back from it, and I applaud the heck out of them. And if you're one of those people, that's great. But if you're like me, you know that a cheat meal opens a door that you don't want to walk through. You don't. Heck, even a small cheat to me, I haven't cheated since I started working with my coach in October of 2018. But before then, I would do small off-plan cheats or overeat on keto foods. And I knew that they were going to re-spark the hunger, the desire to eat more, all of that inside of me. And it would mean days of white-knuckling through the meals to come. I used to say that a lot to people. How do you succeed at weight loss? I grip my hands on the edge of the chair and I hold on for dear life every time I eat. Every bite of food sparks a fire inside of me. And honestly, that's changed a lot the past couple months. My relationship with food has changed, but that's where I was at. Even eating a diet meal, even eating a salad with grilled chicken on top of it, I would want more. So I needed to be consistent in my plan and not give myself the leeway to screw up. Because when I did, that's when things would go wrong. And things go horrifically wrong in my case. And I've seen it happen to other people. I've seen friends lose 300 pounds and regain all of that weight. I've seen friends lose 400 pounds and regain all of that weight. And then I've seen people do that and die. And I don't want you to die. I don't want to die. I want to live. I said that before, and I mean it. So maybe not all of this is coming out right, and I'm not giving you some magic plan. I'm not trying to. I want to just give you hope that it is possible for you to make these changes, that you can do it. Listen to me. I said don't listen to me, but I want you to listen to me again now. Come back in. Come back into the room. Sit down. We're going to talk for a minute. I need you to listen. I need you to know that it is possible for you to make these changes and for you to save your life. You don't need someone else to save your life. You might need other people to help. Because I know some of you are probably going to look at like a surgery route or something along those lines. And if that's the tool that you need, use the tools that you need. But remember, there's no magic buttons out there. You still have to do the work. So do the work. Be consistent. Take it one choice at a time if you have to. I had many days where I had to do that. I couldn't see a full day of success ahead of me, so I went every half hour, every 15 minutes at a time, making good choices. And when I made one good choice, I decided I wanted to make another one after that. So I made another one. Let them snowball. Let them become your normal. If doing one day seems impossible, you're a human being. I saw a meme today that said, "You've lived through all the worst days of your life so far, so congratulations." If you've lived through your worst days, you did it. So think about that. You've lived through that worst day. So yes, a day of a diet might seem like it's another worst day, but you can get through a day. You get through one, and you go to bed at night, and you commit to getting through another tomorrow. That's what it takes. That is literally what it takes every day, telling yourself you can do it again. So don't ever say to yourself, "I can't do this." You can do this. I believe in you. I believe that you can do this. Because like I like to say, you're amazing. You're amazing. So amaze yourself. Think about what I've talked about. Think about what you need to do to get yourself started. And heck, amaze yourself. Make some changes. If you have to make small ones at first, make the small ones you need to make. If you're ready to make some big changes, heck, make those bigger changes. I have faith in you, and I want you to have faith in yourself. I want you to know through consistency, through planning, through knowing your goals and your why, through doing your research, you can arm yourself for this war. And this is a war. Don't think it's not. Don't think it's not a battle to lose 300 pounds, 200 pounds, heck, 50 pounds. It is a battle. There are parts of yourself inside that you're going to have to fight no matter what. And you'll do it. You'll do it. As long as you're consistent, you realize that you're going to need different tools at different times, be ready to change that plan when it stops working. And it doesn't mean it stops working because the plan is bad. Most of the time it stops working because we're not following it exactly as we were before, or something has changed with us that makes that plan not the best for us anymore. Don't give up then. Find a new tool. Always be looking for new tools. Keep that research going. Understand your plan. Talk to other people. Heck, Here is my biggest tip for losing 300 pounds right now, right now. Get on Instagram. Get on Instagram, start an account, and start documenting what you're doing. Talk to people. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of support groups on Facebook, and some of them are really awesome. Most of them I find are not. For me, it's Instagram. Instagram is where I live. It's where a lot of successful people I know, they live right now. So it's a great tool. And maybe it won't be the right one for you, but I'd love for you to check it out. I'd love for you to say hi to me. Find me at gourmet_goesketo and talk to me. I'll help any way that I can. I'll direct you to any resources. But like I said, I can't tell you what to do. I can just share my experience and hope that you might get something out of it to help you. And that's really what this episode was about. Talking through what the process I went through to reach where I am now. And I will say it again. I'll say it again because it's important for me as a part of my goals. I'm in the place I need to be. I'm in the part of my journey I need to be at. I am succeeding. And that sounds arrogant as heck. And it sounds arrogant to me when I say it. And when people say, you're doing so great, my response has always been, I'm trying. I'm trying. Because at first I thought saying I'm trying means that, you know I'm not there yet, but I'm trying. But really, at the end of the day, trying means you're not quite to success yet, because I defined that as hitting a weight loss goal. No. Every day I do this, I'm successful. Every meal I properly prepare, I am successful. Every discussion I have with someone about what I'm doing, I'm a success. You can be a success too. We just need to find that trick to stay successes for as long as we can. So that's what we're doing. That's what I'm doing. And I know you can too. So if you're out there, please reach out to me if you want to talk. There's a ton of other people on Instagram that are really great too. And on any resource that you use. But make sure you don't just try to approach this alone. Build your plan, find your why, be consistent. That's all I got to say to you this week. Thank you for listening to the Fat Guy Forum one more time. Whatever device you're listening to this on, please leave a review. That'd be really helpful to me. And like I said, come follow me on Instagram. Let's talk. Take care of yourselves, everybody. Don't forget, you're going to do this. I know it.